What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hindsightless, the sporadic podcast where I talk about life, role-playing games, or whatever else might be running around inside of my head. But mostly role-playing games, because role-playings are awesome, because they get sloppy, then they mellow out, then they get sloppy again. Let's get into it. Man, they're pushing me hard to step into line. And to follow the rules, or you don't have a podcast anymore. We'll see. That's a talk for a different time. It's been a minute. I got some calls from Jason about my last episode about wisdom is overrated. I also have a call from Spencer. Yes, I do. And I love both of those guys. But before we get into the calls, I just want to talk about why Seattle is still one of the greatest cities in the world, country, world for music. Seattle's just a shit, man. I just went to see a show tonight. My buddy Jacob, his band was playing Smokey Topaz. That's the name of their band. There's a long story behind the name. They were supposed to have a band from Portland that was supposed to be starting the show, leading the show off, called Roselit Bone. But they canceled at the last minute in a really assholish manner. So yeah, Roselit Bone from Portland, you're not as cool as you guys think you are. Anyway, they got this guy called Mountain Hauler. His name was Matthew, but he was a one-man band, singer-songwriter type stuff, and he was pretty rad. He sung the shit out of stuff. He gave it his all, and his voice was really good and clear, and it was awesome. But the reason I'm talking about Mountain Hauler is because he has a goddamn Lord of the Rings song. One of his songs, called Cloaks, is basically the story of Lord of the Rings. And it's awesome, man. If I can find it, I will share a link. I might have talked about this before because I felt like I've heard this song before. But maybe not. Anyway, so that was Mountain Hauler. He played a Lord of the Rings song and it was amazing. And I was like, and then he did a Led Zeppelin cover. And I was like, yeah, okay, I don't ever need to hear a Led Zeppelin song ever again. But anyway, yeah. And so it was Mountain Hauler, Smokey Topaz, and the Kings playing at this place called the Royal Room in Rainier Beach, which is south Seattle. It's probably technically not Seattle anymore, but it's right there. It's Rainier Beach. And it was just a really cool venue. The servers were not cool. There were three bands playing. I got three beers, one beer a band, basically. They hated us for whatever reason. We made it up to him in the end. We left him a big tip, right? Because if, like, servers, if they don't like you, they're probably thinking, as someone who worked in the food industry for most of my life, the servers are probably thinking, this son of a bitch isn't going to leave a good tip. So when you leave a good tip on a server that hates you, it's like a double win. One, you left a good tip, so that's awesome. And then two, you, like, prove them wrong, which is, like, the best. Even though you're not there to witness it, you win in the end. And that's the coolest shit. Anyway, so, yeah, three totally different kind of bands. A singer-songwriter band that was the replacement for Roselit Bone. That was Mountain Hauler. And then there was my buddy Jacob's band, Smokey Topaz. They're kind of like a jazz band almost. They sing cool, some sultry songs, very kind of jazzy. They got a saxophone, a couple guitarists, a bass player, female lead singer, drums. It's pretty dope, dude. Like Smokey Topaz is a pretty accurate title to what type of music they play. And then the Kings, they are kind of like a, like 70s era ska mixed with punk rock. Like they kind of shred, man. And it was amazing. They blew the doors off the place. It was awesome. And yeah, it was just super fun. At one point, I had a rad girl in her 30s on one side of me dancing, and on the other side of me dancing, I had a rad girl in her 70s, and we were all dancing, and it was just like the coolest. And I'm just looking around, it's like Seattle, it's still kind of the shit. There are a lot worse cities than Seattle. Seattle's kind of badass. You can find cool stuff. And then afterwards, it's like, okay, so it's now midnight. The shows are done. We're gonna go. Where are we gonna go? We gonna go to a bar? No. We're gonna go to the marina and hang out in this cool work shed and drink beers and, do fun stuff. And it was awesome, man. Like, Seattle is just the coolest. Oh man. And I got awesome friends and it was just a great night. So yeah, that's it. I'll probably record the rest of this tomorrow. I just wanted to record this now because it's been a minute since I've done a podcast after a few beers. I had one beer per band at the show, but after the show, I had a couple beers. But yeah. Let's get into some calls, dude. Let's start with Spencer because we got three calls from Jason, maybe four, but let's start with Spencer and then we'll get into some talk about wisdom with Spencer because Spencer, he's fucking awesome, dude. Jason's awesome. All you guys are awesome, man. Well, how much longer will this show be around? That's another thing, right? I've been thinking about just how much of me talking there is out there on the internet now. Literally, between Wheeler Woe and Hindsightless, there are literal hundreds of hours of me just talking out there in the world that anyone can come and record and make crazy copies of. It's weird, right? We live in a weird time. We're living in a weird time, dude. Living in a dog man's nightmare, dude. You guys don't even know. You don't even know about fantasy fiction. Anyway, let's get some calls. Peace out.
Hey, Joe. I just wanted to say how great it was hearing a message from Barney. Obviously, we'd all prefer it to be in better circumstances. I know I'm fortunate enough to play with Barney on a regular basis, although not nearly regular enough. But it's great to hear him back on a podcast. And don't think for one second, Barney, that we can't see through exactly what you're doing here, because only the truly wise would deny their own wisdom. But I do wonder if there are things being conflated here. I mean, is this wisdom we're talking about? Or is it well-meant advice, platitudes, or worse still, positive affirmations that we're talking about here? Because, that stuff can do one. For my money, wisdom is not something that you can be told, it's something that you acquire yourself. So I just wanted to make sure we're talking about the same thing here before we write it off. Thanks very much for yet another excellent show. Hopefully, we hear a bit more from Barney in the future. Take care.
I am picturing a poster hanging on a wall of a little cute kitten hanging from a branch, and above or below the kitten hanging from the branch in some fun script, it says, "Hang in there." Now that's wisdom. Yeah, no, I hear you. It was fantastic to hear from Barney. I love Barney. I've had the pleasure of playing with him a few times, but not nearly enough. It is a difficult time zone though, where Barney is. But yeah, I agree. Wisdom isn't hang in there, right? It's not platitudes. There is something more to it. It is knowing not to say things like keep your chin up to somebody who's in a tough spot. It's actually being able to think about their situation and, actually be there to listen, to be a friend, to just be like, "Hey, dude, I'm here if you need me, man." And to be able to listen without trying to fix anything, just to listen. That's, to me, that's what I think wisdom is. But I am not wise, so I don't know. Oh, man. Yeah, dude. So thank you for that call, Spencer. That was great. And I really hope we do hear more from Barney, because Barney is a super, super cool dude. Totally smart, creative guy. Funny as all get out. And yeah, he's a great guy. Barney, you're a great guy. Anyway, let's get on to Jason. So staying on the theme of wisdom, we got a couple calls from Jason talking about wisdom. These are great. Let's get into it. Jason, what do you think about wisdom?
Hey Joe, Jason here. So, looking at the latest episode you put out, wisdom is overrated. Now, a lot of people put out podcasts and especially a lot of people put up YouTube videos with clickbait titles. And I don't know. I mean, wisdom isn't the most highly rated movie out there, but is it overrated? I think probably not because just because of what I said, it's not that highly rated. It's 1986, so we do have young Emilio Estevez, young Demi Moore in there. You got Tom Skerritt in there as the parents. We have a pretty awesome score with by Danny Elfman. You got Oingo Boingo in there. But the whole, spoiler alert, the whole "It's a Dream." At the end, it's a dream ending thing kind of ruins it. But up until that point, up until the "It's Been a Daydream," I think it's a pretty serviceable movie. So I kind of don't think it's that overrated. Now, when we look on Wikipedia, we see its average of C plus is the rating. And there's some talk later about, Emilio Estevez, people didn't think it was great, and I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it. It's been a while, but I remember enjoying the movie when it came out, other than the ending. So, yeah, I don't think it's overrated, but I do look forward to listen to what you have to say on the episode. So let me tune in and listen to your episode, and I'll call back. Okay, I listened to your episode, and yeah, your title is kind of clickbaity. Doesn't have anything to do with the 1986 movie Wisdom. That's okay though. One of the reasons I didn't mention though that it kind of gets Emilio catches crap over it is he directed it. He wrote it, directed it, and starred in it, So I don't know. I think people are being pretty tough on him, honestly, for that. I think. Let me see. That was the first movie that he directed, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, man. I mean, that's not very fair to give him a hard time over that. Now, Men at Work, the next one he directed and wrote, I can see that catching crap. Much more so than Wisdom. So, yeah, I don't know. But we diverted back onto Wisdom. Let me call you back one more time to talk about the actual episode.
I don't think I've seen Wisdom, the movie, but I love Emilio Estevez. And so I do want to see it now, man. I don't remember ever hearing about it. My sister had, because I asked her, I was like, "Have you ever heard about this movie?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah, I've totally heard about it, but I've never seen it." So, yeah, man. I do want to say I liked Men at Work, man. I thought Men at Work was funny. I was a young person when it came out, when I saw it. I probably saw it in. When it was on HBO, or maybe we rented it even, so not in the theaters, but not too long after it came out, because I don't think Men at Work was in theaters long, but it was Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. Get out of here with that, man. That movie was awesome. They're trash men, if I remember correctly. Now I need a might need to watch Men at Work again, man. I did not know that Emilio wrote Men at Work. I never think it's a great look when somebody writes, directs, and stars in a movie. I don't know. There's just something about that. That's a little too much for me. But yeah, Wisdom sounds awesome, except for that ending. What's the point of adding that type of ending when, oh, it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, Salt-N-Pepa, sorry, Biggie Smalls came into my head. But the whole it was a dream thing, that's a trope in storytelling that, yeah, unless you're like Nightmare on Elm Street, where the dreams are real, then it's kind of, I just, it's like, okay, so we just told this awesome story with possibly all these morals and stuff. But it was all a dream. So none of that actually happened. So none of it really matters. It's like when, somebody wakes up and they're like, I had a dream you cheated on me and now I'm pissed at you. And it's like, but baby, that never really happened. That's just your dream. I don't know, man. Let's talk about the real episode though, all right? Let's do it.
Okay, third time's the charm. Not saying the other messages shouldn't be played, but we're finally getting to meet. Well, actually, we're going to kind of just skip to the ending of episode 507, Wisdom is Overrated, which we've now established is kind of a clickbaity title, but not totally because the term or the phrase Wisdom is Overrated is said during the episode. So you kind of skirt past the whole clickbait thing, although, who doesn't see Wisdom and think of that movie? Anyhow, as far as the stat goes in role-playing games, is wisdom overrated? I think wisdom can become a god stat in a lot of games, especially later editions, where wisdom is also used for perception. It's used for mental health. So if you're using wisdom for, sanity checks, for horror checks, if you're using it for perception checks, if you're using it to tell if somebody's lying, if you're using it for straight up wisdom rolls, what I don't totally know what that is. I think it does become overrated, not overrated. I think it's overused. Personally, I like to use charisma because I see charisma as force of personality. So I like to use charisma for horror checks and sanity checks and things like that. I think that maps better to charisma and the idea of force of personality. But that's just me. I would like to see wisdom replaced by perception or something like that. Honestly, I'm okay playing without mental stats. I think to some degree you need something in there. You need maybe education, like education level. If you have a game with skills, like say Call of Cthulhu, then education level is important. Now, education level isn't really the same thing as intelligence, though. And personally, I'm okay playing games where the player provides the intelligence level of the character and they don't have a stat that maps to that. And the same thing with wisdom. You could replace wisdom. You could break that down to like piety and perception, I guess, like some other systems have. So yeah, I think the need to have a wisdom stat is maybe overrated. I would agree with that. I think I would probably maybe replace it with something else, but it probably wouldn't serve the exact same purpose. So great episode. I'm glad Barney called in and talked about that. It's interesting. We Well, I was about to go off tangent, but we'll save that for a future call. Take care.
Damn, dude. What a talk about clickbaity, dude. What a tease, man. What a tease about your tangent. I want to hear your tangent. Will there be many more future calls played on future episodes of mine? I don't know, man. I don't know, but again, we'll talk more about that later. Things are just getting annoyingly challenging to put out episodes. It hasn't started yet, but it's coming quick. So anyway, man, about wisdom. Yeah, in Pathfinder, it's a pretty important stat. It affects your will saving throws, so it affects one of your three saving throws. It affects several skills, such as perception, sense motive, survival. There might be one or two more. And it's not nearly the god stat that Pathfinder First Edition is. Pathfinder First Edition, it says dexterity is life. It's crazy. Strength is basically, there's a couple feats you can get to make strength meaningless. Especially if you're playing something like a monk, you know, where you don't have to carry a lot of stuff. You can go with a totally low strength and be 100% fine. Again, which we'll talk about more here in a second, having low stats makes certain types of encounters way more dangerous. But in general, dex is the god stat for sure. As far as no mental stats in RPGs, I can see it. I don't love it. I don't love it because, you know, if you're playing a wizard or something, some crazy intelligence bait. But I guess if you're playing a game with no mental stats, then there would be no intelligence stat-based classes. So you wouldn't have to necessarily be a super smart magic user. You could be, you know, your regular intelligence, or if you're me, a dumbass magic user. And that's the game, right? That's the universe of the game that you're set in. Because that's the thing, right? Like, everything on a character sheet helps set the implied setting for the world, right? Like, your class helps set an implied setting. There are fighters in this world. Here's what fighters do. There are magic users in this world. That means there is magic in this world. There are people who get power from above, which means there are deities in this world. So, like, everything on the character sheet, all the monsters, all the spells, everything involved in the game helps set the default setting for the game. Now, it's a very generic default setting, but anyway, I'm off on a tangent now. Yeah, back to mental stats. It's cool, you know. I don't think... Yeah, I don't know, man. Because if we're just getting rid of mental stats, why not get rid of all the stats kind of thing? There is that argument to be made. Why just get rid of mental stat? Why not also get rid of the physical stats too? And we can all pick it and just LARP all the time. We could all just be LARPers now. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not opposed to it, to getting rid of the mental stats. I see, like I said, I see the argument to be made there. But anyway, dude, yeah, you know, like you pointed out, it wasn't a clickbaity title. It was the titular line got used in the episode. So it's a perfectly acceptable title. Hooray for me. Anyway, man, thank you for those awesome calls. I am going to get out of here now. I'm going to send it back to drunk me from a few days ago and close out the episode with that, which is just a treat for everyone. I don't know why I do this, man. I think it's funny. I don't know if anybody else does, but I get a chuckle out of it. And it's for posterity's sake, you know? One day, historians will be digging back through the archives and be like, wow, this guy was a drunken Shakespeare. He was so eloquent when drunk. He was amazing. It's like some sort of superpower. Yeah, that's what they'll say. All right, everybody. I love you all. I might say that in this outro, but if I didn't, I do. Y'all are awesome and you make me happy. So, drunk self, take it away. Oh, wait, that's right. I totally recorded a wrathful recap. So I'm not sending you back to my drunken self yet. I'm going to send you back to a recap of our latest Wrath of the Righteous session. Let's do that instead. Okay, so one last piece of sober recording before we get into my drunk outro from last night. I recorded the intro and the outro last night, but we just got finished with another session of Wrath of the Righteous, and it was pretty cool. We just had three players. So we had Haven, the Paladin, we had Nyx, the Bard, and Randor, the Monk. And their mission, as they were given last session, where they finally gained the attention of Nauticula by performing and just doing enough stuff around the city, they finally got Nauticula's attention. And I like that little mechanic because the way you get Nauticula's attention, it isn't just through combat, right? Like you can perform different tasks, you can do all sorts of different stuff. So there's a lot of ways to gain Nauticula's attention other than just combat, which, Pathfinder, there's a lot of combat. It's a combat-heavy system. But so yeah, the party had to go meet with Nauticula, and Nauticula had told them, okay, I want one last show. Sorry, I'm putting laundry into the dryer as I record. I want one last show of your prowess. So come see me at my library, basically. And my guardians are going to try and stop you. And feel free to do whatever you want to do to stop them from stopping you. And if you can make it to me, that'll be wonderful. And so, yeah, the party did. They fought a bunch of monsters, and they were interesting monsters because they weren't demons. Only the last two were demons. The other ones were some shadows, strength draining shadows, and a iron golem who is neither a demon nor evil. So that was interesting. So a bunch of the party's abilities didn't really work the way they normally work because, again, the party is like fully keen and equipped to fight demons. And so when they have to fight other things, it's not as much of a cakewalk. And as Jason pointed out after the fight, those were really dangerous fights because with Pathfinder, when you lose ability damage, you die. If you get to zero in your ability score, in any ability score, you die, basically. You go totally comatose if it's a mental ability score. So you become a vegetable, basically. And then if it's in a physical, strength, dex, or con, you die, right? And so it gets spicy because Subin, the healer, he is fully kitted out to heal hit point damage. Even if a character dies from hit point damage, Subin can heal them on the next turn to bring them back, which normally you can't in Pathfinder. If you die of hit point damage, healing spells don't have any effect on you. But Subin, because he's a mythic, crazy, amazing healer, he has the ability to cast healing spells on characters that have just died within one round. So if he gets to them within one round and they've died of hit point damage, he can bring them back, right? So they might still be unconscious, maybe. Depends on how much he can heal, but Subin can heal like 165 points if he wants to in one round. But anyway, he cannot do that if they die from ability damage. So, yeah, as Jason rightly pointed out, that was a very spicy fight because, Randor, as a monk, his charisma is really low. He's got like a 6 charisma, and these fly demons that they were fighting, the only demons that they ended up fighting, they had the ability to suck out charisma. So if he had gotten hit, there was a chance they could have killed Randor in one round, right? Because they did a D6 worth of charisma damage. If they did max damage, there goes Randor. So it was a spicy fight, right? And I didn't really... Jason brought that up afterwards. I feel like as soon as he said it, I was like, yeah, maybe I should have telegraphed that more better just to ratchet up the tension a little bit. I don't know. But regardless of all that, they made it through to Nauticula. And yeah, Nauticula is awesome, man. She was basically like, okay, so what do you want? And they told her, they said, okay, so these two demons, they've set up on your islands. You already know that. They're mining these crystals that turn demons into basically super demons. And we don't want that. We don't want you to let them do that anymore. And she's like, well, okay. You're like, okay, I get it. Like, Nauticula doesn't like the fact that these other demons, that Baphomet and Descari, are stirring up trouble on the material plane. Because Nauticula is worried that that's going to bring down the wrath of all the good gods, which that could mess with Nauticula's situation. And she doesn't want her situation messed with. And so she says, yeah, cool. I'll send you there. You know, I don't want to do anything, because I want plausible deniability. So if I send you guys there, I'd be like, I don't know what happened. And then it's either you destroy the mining operation or you die. Either way, hooray for me. Because that's Nauticula. And so the party was like, cool, let's go. And that was basically the end of the session. Nauticula teleported them to the island on which the mining operation is happening. That's where the session ended. Next session, we'll have the whole party back. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. Everyone's going to be there for the first time in a long time. And that should be really rad, man. So, anyway, that's it. All right. Let's get back to my drunken rambles. I have not re-listened to these. So, I remember some of the stuff I said, but obviously not everything. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's totally fine. Anyway, if I didn't say it in my drunken rambles, thank you to Spencer and to Jason for your amazing calls. You guys are awesome. Yeah, just really fantastic, guys. Anyway, let's get back to that. I'm going to include and record the outro, too. I'm just getting ready for bed. Thank you to Spencer and Jason for your amazing calls. I bet they're awesome. I haven't totally listened to them yet, but they're totally rad. But what I want to talk about before I go, before I forget, is I found out tonight a piece of news that totally made my day. And what is that piece of news? I found out tonight from an independent source who told me that my name, Joe Richter, was not written, but carved into one of the ladies' stalls in the ladies' room of one of the diviest bars still in Ballard. It's an amazing bar. It's awesome. Awesome people hang out there. It's closed down right now because they got fined for one of their bartenders drinking while there was a power outage on the street where the bar is, and then the bartender got caught drinking while the power was out, so they got fined for that. And then when they tried to pay the fine, the government employee who was supposed to accept fines was on vacation, so they couldn't pay the fine. So now their bar is closed, It's called the Lock and Keel. It's a great place. But my name is carved into the ladies' room. And, I mean, boom, right? Like, that's immortality. When your name is not just written in, like, Sharpie, something that could be just written over. It's carved into the wood. Who did that? Who did that? Who did I have that effect on that carved my name into the stall of one of the lady, one of the stalls in the women's restroom at the Lock and Keel? It made my night learning that fact. I hope it makes your night. That's pretty awesome, right? Like, you can't really fuck with that. That's pretty unfuckwithable. Which is not my term. That's a term for fantasy fiction. I will give them credit. Unlike Gygax, I will give them credit. Gygax gives credit. He just shits on that. Anyway. Never mind all that. I love you all. I hope I have many more podcasts to come. I don't know if I will. We'll see. We'll find out together. If I don't sign up for a Spotify account, which I already fucking have. I already have a Spotify account, and I hate it. I think Spotify is a terrible platform to listen to music on. Apple Music is infinitely better, and I know that puts me in like a crazy minority, but Spotify sucks to listen to music on. It's terrible. Anyway, I already have a Spotify account, but I got a notification if I don't sign up for a Spotify account by April 30th, that then everything is fucked. So, that's it. You'll probably hear more from me in the future. We'll see. Anyway, I love you all. You're all brilliant people. You really are. I hope I hope you love yourself a lot, because if you're listening to my idiotic, stupid face, then you're a fucking awesome person. That's really what it boils down to. So, thank you for being fucking awesome. I'm gonna get out of here. I love you. I love you. Even you. I like those shoes. You got new shoes. They look really nice. That's a nice top you're wearing. You're all very beautiful and handsome people, and I will talk to you all soon. Take care of yourselves, take care of somebody else, and until next time, peace out.